All righty, Luke chapter 1. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Bible says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God. Would you stay upright? Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. That means they were old. They don't say that in the Bible. They are a little bit more polite, but they were old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty when he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we want to hear from you, Lord. We want to receive a message, just like Sharon brought to us this morning, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts, Lord, that you have a purpose for us, Lord, and that you have a cause for us to rally behind. Lord, I pray this morning that you would come, Lord, and my brother and Sandra's sister and Aaron's brother, Lord, that there would be a message for each one of us. Lord, that you would greet us and meet us here, and that we would indeed have a special message that would guide us today. We ask that in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen. How many people got a Christmas tree up already? Just three. Put your hand up high. Come on now, be proud. One, two, three. All right. I think we might be put. We're going to put up the Christmas tree tomorrow at the church at the food distribution time. So I got to go get a Christmas tree in the morning, and we'll probably get one, I don't know, tomorrow night or something like that. Does it seem crazy fast that Christmas is already here in 2012?
Yeah.
Wow, it is just psycho fast. You know who's up on Christmas in my home is my daughter. My daughter began laying seeds for the coming Christmas gift already a week and a half ago. And she started whispering to me her dissatisfaction with her cell phone. Now, she has a MyTouch phone. It is a 3G. I got one for my son, and the guys in the store were mocking it in that it was so old. And my daughter began to tell me, give me a litany of challenges that she was experiencing with her phone. And they all revolved, we started working through them all, and then they all pointed to this one thing. She wants to do Instagram, and her phone can't do Instagram. How many of you guys know what Instagram is? And I barely know what, I know what Facebook is. I've seen Facebook. I've never really been on Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. If you request me to be my friend, I'll be your friend, but I don't know how to do it on Facebook. But the Instagram is, you take a picture of yourself and just post it on the Instagram site, and everybody can see what is going on right now. Amen? And so that is what my daughter wants for Christmas. She wants Instagram. Now, I don't know if you're going to be able to provide Instagram in your home. I don't know if I'm going to be able to provide Instagram in mine. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, they had some desires at Christmas time. I mean, it wasn't Christmas yet because it wasn't a Christ yet. But what they wanted was a son. They had lived their lives. They were old. That means that they were 60 years old. And they were still wanting a son. They had been praying for that. And now, if you know, how many of you guys have... Hear that? You know what that is? That's a son. That's a son right there. You hear that? Now, Teresa, you're young. You have two sons. How old are you, girl? 27. Now... And your oldest son's like 7, right? 10, 9, 10. Okay. Can you imagine being 60 years old and having that little bundle of joy? That would change your life around. Can I get a witness on that? You know, I mean, it's like you might be praying for a grandchild rather than a child. You know what I mean? Because grandchildren, you can send home. Amen? I mean, they just come to visit. You feed them candy. And when they're all jacked up with sugar, say, it's time for you to go home to mom. Well, maybe or maybe not. I don't know. I'm not good at being a grandparent yet. It would be a radical change for them. How about you? You need a change at Christmas time? What are you looking for? What do you want for Christmas? Do you want stuff? You want some things? You want something on Christmas? You want a life change. You want a radical life change. Some of you roll in here this morning. I see some heads going up and down. Some of you roll in here this morning, look back at the year and go, I cannot do another year the way I just did this last one. I don't know if I'll make it through another year. I need a radical life change. There was a guy who came in, when did he come in? I was leaving the church, it was like Wednesday or Thursday. And he said, I kid you not, he said, you know anybody who's hiring? I need a job. You know what I said? I said, the line is long for people who need a job. And he goes, yeah, I got to make a change in my life. He goes, I'll be here on Sunday. Guess what? He ain't here. Guess what? Ain't no change happening. It's not enough just to want change. You have got to begin to step into change. Can I get a witness on that? Now, you come in here this morning and you want a change. You have come to the right place. Because we're talking about a whole series on Christmas changes. And Zechariah was looking for that change. He stepped right into the temple of God. And he got a life-changing message. And so this morning, you come rolling in here. You need a change. You can have a life-changing message too. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We'll hope. I think it's Isaac. Is that Isaac screaming out there? Oh, yeah. That kid is healthy. What happened to Sandra? She ran away. She's grandma. See, did you get that? Your grandma's going running screaming from the building. Oh, no, that ain't happening. All right. A place to start. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God. That is a good thing. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both old. Zechariah and Elizabeth living the faithful life. Zechariah and Elizabeth were walking the walk. They were upright in the sight of God. God was pleased with the choices that they were making. Are you pleased with the choices that you're making? Is God pleased with the choices that you are making? Is God up there in heaven going, God was looking down and he saw Job. You see my servant Job? He's looking down going, see my servant Mike? See my servant Sharon? See, they were making good choices. And good choices, when you make good choices, how many of you guys made bad choices? I mean, you know, when you make bad choices, what do you got to do? You got to fix those things, right? I mean, you can just make your life into a mess, right? And you are so busy just cleaning up the mess you are making of your life. Amen? Some of you guys are going, oh, yeah, I did that a whole last year. But, see, now what was going on was they were making good choices. They didn't have a lot of messes going around. They've been doing it for maybe 45 years. What does that do? It gives room for God to work in your life. Why? Because you're not busy all the time cleaning up after yourself. Are you tracking with me on this? I mean, it's like, hey, I'm kind of getting cruise here. You know, I kind of got, some of you guys are doing that. You have come to the Lord, given your life to the Lord over the last year, and you are seeing some dramatic changes in your life, and you're thinking, man. You know, it's crazy. Katie, she testified on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. She's moving to Texas, right? And she's got this smoking job, free rent, free car, plus double her salary and full time. Who wants that job? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll take that job. I talked to her. I go, you know what's crazy? I mean, I'm not going to throw her under the bus or nothing, but I'll tell you what, her and her husband and they've been dealing dope all over this neighborhood for 20 years. You guys know that? I mean, some of you guys know, I used to buy my drugs from her. She's going to move. Yeah, no, not for a long time. She's going to move to Texas in this little town of about 18,000 people. And she's going to be Katie the church lady. Is that just a wild? I go, is that just wild? You're going to be the church lady. And she goes, you know, I never even thought about that. That is such a radical transformation. Some of you are going through that transformation. And as that happens, maybe you'll get a job offer of an apartment, a car, double the pay and full time. Like, whoa, I'm handling my stuff. See, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they were faithful in the eyes of God. And they didn't have all this drama that they were cleaning up. And what that did was make room in their lives for God to do something. Now, we talk about Christmas changes. We talk about a message that'll change your life. If you got space for God to move, He'll move. Can I get a witness on that? Let me see. Oh, there's really two ways. You might think, that's not me. There's two ways for God to just to do an Instagram in your life. You know, I don't know what you call it, heavengram, you know, when God just does a blast on Mike's life, you know, up in heaven. Well, check out my servant Mike. There's two ways to do that. One is you can come rolling in here this morning, tore up from the floor up. God, do a miracle in me, right? And you can be the shining example of what God can do in somebody's life who's totally messed up and can be made right. That's how I came in. I'll tell you what. I have told you what I used to be like. One person in this room knows what I used to be like. I tell you people that if my wife would have met me before I got saved, she wouldn't want to give me the time of day. My brother knows everything about me. You don't need to ask him. But you can just say, was he really that bad? And you go, oh, yeah, he was really that bad. No, I'm not going to go there. But so you can be that miracle. You can come in here, that guy that was outside saying, I need to make a change. You can be that change. God, here I am. Make me into an Instagram. Do a miracle in me. That is one way. The other way is to have that change made. Get your life kind of on normal. Get that uprightness that they were upright. You get that uprightness in the eyes of the Lord. We call that faithfulness, right? And your life kind of starts getting boring. Don't have DUIs, you know. Now people break into your house and all that kind of stuff. It gets kind of boring. And God says, you know what? You got now space for me to not do a miracle in you, but to do a miracle through you, right? So there's two ways to be an Instagram for God. He can do a miracle in you, or He can do a miracle through you. Amen. And you're a candidate for one of the two. Or you just came here to get barbecue. We got that halfway. Talk to Jim, and he'll do that. But better to be on the miracle end. Amen? All right, let's take a look. All right, once when Zechariah's division, see, he's on duty working in the church. It says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go up into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And Zechariah is selected for something special. Quickly, I'll move through this. But he was a priest. There was probably 300 priests that worked in the temple. And it was kind of like being on Army Reserve, because you would work 2 weeks a year, right? They had these 300 guys, and they would divide them up into 12 teams. They'd go twice a year. And so there'd be about 50 guys on a team. And you would just, you know, be working on your farm or whatever. But those 2 weeks, you would be doing all the stuff in the temple. Now here's the temple, right? And so there'd be these 50 guys, and they had the full-time priests, but these were the part-time priests. They'd come in, and they would come in, and they would do offerings and all that kind of stuff. Now, what would happen is they would choose by lot. They would basically draw lots of the 50 guys that were on duty that day, and you would just work one day in the week. So the whole time you're there, you're working one day, and you would get chosen by lot maybe one of 2 days in a year. So 50 guys. You might wait 25 years to get chosen by lot. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Once you got chosen, you were off the list. It was only one time, because there were so many priests, there was only one time in your life that you would ever be able to go into, this is a model, this temple, this is the recreation of Herod's temple, and all this stuff would be going on, and offerings, and people would be all, and this is the holy place, and it's split up into two places, the holy place and the most holy place. And this is where the back portion, and it's only about as big as this platform, the whole thing. And the front was 30 feet by 15, and the back was 15 feet by 15. And in the back was the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? You know, Indiana Jones and all that stuff? Yes? Don't know. Maybe 30? 40? They didn't get that old, you know? I mean, even the United States in the 20s, man, you weren't living that long. You know, yeah. So, although these guys were old, they were probably 60. So, anyway, getting off track. So, what would happen is he got chosen to go into this building, and he would go into the holy place. The most holy place had the Ark of the Covenant. There was a curtain across it, and that is where the presence of God was, right? And so can you imagine? Can you imagine? And inside the holy place would have been the table of incense, the table of showbread, and this menorah, candlestick, right? And that's what was going on in there. Can you imagine walking into that place? I mean, can you imagine walking into, some of the monuments in Washington, D.C.? Can you imagine walking into, some of the cathedrals, like where the Pope is and all that kind of stuff, get chosen, one of 1,000 people to show up. And can you, just one time, once in a lifetime, he shows up and he goes in there, right? You got to imagine he was on pins and needles. Presence of God right here. And this curtain was as thick as a man's hand. Right? And you're lighting the incense. You don't want to drop the matches. You're in there, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Can you imagine what a platform this was for God to move? I mean, if there was a time in Zechariah's life for God to just, Zechariah, would that have been the place? Can you imagine it? I'm trying to build that up, because that's what happens. An angel, bam. Now, what makes this work is the faithfulness of Zechariah's life. That for 45 years, he had been faithfully serving in the outer court, doing his job, doing all that stuff, being with his wife, being upright before the Lord, and he chooses someone. Some of us struggle with that uprightness. Just showing up day to day and doing the regular thing, right? I mean, it can be difficult. I'm working with Joe. We're doing this project on this car, and we're painting it. And we've been working on it since, like, June, right? And so I said yesterday morning, I said, go out there, sand it. You're going to paint it. Mike did some paint work on it the other day. And he sits down, and he says, I hate this car. I just hate it because it takes me from all the stuff I want to do. I go, Joe, man. And my brother is going, oh, man, if you learn how to paint cars, dude, you'll be, not even graduating from high school and know how to paint cars. You know how cool that is? He doesn't realize how cool that is. All he realizes is it takes him away from what he wants to do. I hate this car. I said, Joe, just look at it as hours, man. It's just like 5 hours. You're going to work on the car for 5 hours. He doesn't get it. He struggles with the faithfulness. And it's difficult to fit something else in there when he can't just get the base. When he just can't get the faithfulness and understand how to work. Does that make sense? Because sometimes that's what our lives are like. We just can't get the base down right. And God wants to pour extra stuff into our lives. We're struggling. No, I don't want to do that. I want to do my stuff. You know, I want to get my phone for my Instagram. You know, I want to do the things that I want to do. I want to play my Xbox. I want to play my game. I want to get my toys. I want to get my stuff. And God says, geez, you've got so much stuff in your life, you don't have room for me in there. I guess I'll just have to wait. Zechariah and Elizabeth had built room in their life for God. And I'm wondering this morning, how much room do you have in your life for God? Because a lot of us, we're just trying to pack God on the side. God said, man, I don't just get packed on the side. No, 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 no. That's something else you're thinking of. No, 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 no. You make room in your life for me, and I'll do a miracle in you, or I'll do a miracle through you. And that's the change that can happen at Christmas. Amen? Surprised by the messenger. He is in that most holy place. He is lighting that incense. He is probably freaking out already. And he gets a message from God. Then an angel of the Lord, the archangel Gabriel. Archangels are up there, man. They are like powerful. All right. An archangel, the angel Gabriel of the Lord appears to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Do you think you might be gripped with fear? Most of the time, when somebody sees an angel, they're freaking out. Mainly, I think, because they're dressed in lightning. Right? I mean, you see a guy dressed in lightning, it can be a little surprising. Zechariah is gripped with fear. He's in an unexpected place, and he meets an unexpected person. Now, this can be a problem for faithful people. What do you mean? Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth are old. The way they use those words, they're more than 60 years old. They've been waiting for a kid for all these years, and they're both children of priests. They're both of the priestly line. They were like my kids. I was talking in the youth class on Wednesday. I think Joe has not made to church one time his whole life. That's pretty good, eh? I mean, that's the kind of upbringing that these guys would have had. And so so they are focused on the Lord. They're doing this stuff. They know when to show up to pray. They know when to show up to do this. And here is Zechariah, been a priest his whole life, been serving in the priesthood maybe 45, 50 years. God gets ready to move, and he's totally unprepared for it. Doesn't that blow you away? I mean, the focus of his life is on the supernatural, and the supernatural hits him, and he's totally unprepared for it. Why? Because he got accustomed to God doing nothing. And I think some of us, we get accustomed to God doing nothing. That's why I was asking them, the youth, when they'd seen God move, because some of them had struggled with God answering prayer. I said, when have you seen God answer prayer? And they started going, oh, I saw this, and I saw this, and I saw this, and I saw this. Because the worst thing that can happen is for church people to become accustomed to God doing nothing. So we live our lives just doing the normal stuff, and there's just space for God to move. You know, Zechariah and Elizabeth could have started jumping up and down going, we want a kid! Man, we are of the line of priests. We are priests. We are upright in the sight of God. We need a kid. You know who acted like that? Sarah acted like that. And she said, Abraham, we don't got to wait on God. Why don't you just go ahead and take my handmaiden, Hagar, and mist everything up. See, the very thing that you are jumping up and down and trying to have God fill, he could be leaving as space for him to do a miracle in your life if you would just be patient for it. If you would just be patient for it. So don't rush him, but then don't get used to him doing nothing either. The craziest thing. A guy who lives his life with a focus on the Lord moves, and he's not ready. Do you want to be ready? Do you want to be expecting God to move? Do you want to be ready for God to move in your life? I hope you do. I hope you trust that he has his eyes upon you and that he'll do mighty things in you and through you. Amen? Let's move on. The angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. What do you think he's been praying for? A kid. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness to make a people ready, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God, have you found that God does answer prayer?
Amen?
God will answer your prayers. He says, your prayer has been answered. I wonder how long you've been praying that prayer. He's 60 years old. He walks into the holy place. I mean, there's the table of incense. There's a table of showbread. There's a candle. There's a candelabra, a menorah thing with seven candles in it. And he walks into the place. And I got to imagine the presence of God is mighty in there. Amen? Can you imagine? At 60 years old, him walking in there, doors closed, it's him and God. And he goes, God, can I have a son? I mean, he's been praying it for 45 years. Maybe not so much in the last five. Lord, Creator of heaven and earth, my wife, she's so faithful. She loves you so much. Can we have a son? Bam. I mean, I don't know that it happened like that. It was a prayer for a son that had, but it could have been made just then. And an angel shows up and says, Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. Your wife is going to have a son. And he's not going to be like any other son. You know, the dream of Jewish women of that time was to give birth to the Messiah. Oh, that I could give birth to the Messiah. Because you're not going to give birth to the Messiah, but you're going to give birth to the one who's making the way for him. Wow. I'm so glad we didn't jump up and down and try and hurry up God back when we were 35 years old. Or 45 years old, or 55 years old. See, God will leave room in your life to do something incredible. When you get to that purpose that God has for your life, it is the best thing that can ever happen to you. Can I get a witness on that? They take a look at what's going to make this son so incredible is the power of the Holy Spirit. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. That is what is going to change. He's going to be great. That's mega. We know mega. He's going to be mega before the Lord. He's going to be awesome because of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. He will impact the entire nation of Israel. This young man would move in the power of God. This young man would not be unaccustomed to seeing God move in a mighty way. This young man would move daily in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And when God moved in his life, he would not find him unexpected. He would be expecting God to move in a mighty way. And my question for you this morning, if you want a Christmas change in your life and God speaks to your heart, are you ready to hear? Because John the Baptist lived his life with a focus on God and he was ready to hear from God. Amen? That can be you as well. I remember I was saved like 9 months. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Lord. I really didn't. I loved the He was doing a miracle in me, a transforming work in me. And I went to church on a Sunday night, and this guy was preaching about computers for kids down in Latin America and be the first of its kind with a computer-based curriculum for grammar school and junior high school kids. And I was a computer dealer at the time. And I did this computer drafting stuff that was cutting edge. And God spoke to my heart. Close of the service, The guy said, God is speaking to somebody in this place and is calling you to full-time ministry. And I want you to get out of your chair and I want you to move to the front. Well, there's probably 2,000 people there that night. And about 100 people walked up and I was one of them. And that day, God changed my life. I went to my partner the next morning. I said, hey, I got to go. You want to buy me out? He said, are you crazy? I said, no, but I got to go. You want? He goes, yeah, I'll buy you out in a second. I said, I'll tell you what. You pay for tuition for my Bible college, and you can have the company. But I'm leaving, man. And all our customers are going, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. I went to Bible college. He paid my tuition monthly. Made a monthly stipend, right? Paying my tuition. The month that I graduated, which is 18 months later, he filed for bankruptcy. I firmly believe God kept him in business just to pay for me to go to Bible college. Are you ready for God to speak into your heart? Are you ready for God to do a miracle in you and a miracle through you? Because that is the change that God can make in your life at Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let me move. Are we okay? We're okay? All right. This is hard. Zechariah responds in doubt. Remember where he's at. He's in the temple. He's got the man standing there in lightning. Right? Says, your son's going to be great. Your son's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the day he's born. He's going to impact. He's going to prepare the way for the Lord. He's going to turn the hearts of fathers to their children. He's going to do all this stuff. And Zechariah says, how can I be sure of this? Are you lying to me? I don't know if I want to talk to the man in lightning and call him a liar. Can I get a witness on that? Even if I'm doubting, I'm like, whatever you say, man, whatever you say. You know, I don't want lightning coming out of him on me. He says, I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. And he's saying realistically, how can I believe you? He responds in doubt. Zechariah has a challenge of faith. How can I be sure? Now, I'm sure that Zechariah had no problem believing in God that day. That he didn't stop believing, that he didn't go into the temple going, oh, I wonder if there's really a God. No, I mean, I'm firm in my belief that Zechariah was believing in God. But I don't know that Zechariah was grabbing onto what God was really going to do. Yeah, I know God can do, but I don't know if God will do. Anybody else struggle with that? Them youth, Wednesday. Anybody wonder, God still answers prayer? Oh yeah, hands go up. Why? Because God hasn't answered prayer. God hasn't done everything that I've wanted him to do. Yeah, there's lots of people that have no problem believing in God. It is just believing and struggling with God will do. I have an answer for you. The Bible says, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? That if God says he's going to do something for you, you can bank on it. Amen? It's just a matter of timing. When is it going to get done? So, does he going to do this? Is he going to do this? If God says he's going to do this, he'll do this. There's a whole book full of promises for you. Zechariah was used to God doing nothing. And so when God said, I'm going to do something, he was really wondering if he was going to pull it through. Are you used to God doing something? Because usually God mirrors what we're doing. When we're not doing nothing, when we're not making any space in his life, he's going, I guess your life is full. No room for me. I'll wait for a spot. How much room do you leave for God in your life? How much room is there for God to come in and do a miracle in you, Andrew? Eva? Eve's in there cooking and doing all kinds of stuff. Making space. Make an opportunity. You want God to make a change in your life? Make space for him to do a miracle in you and make space for him to do a miracle through you. And on this day, God was going to start something
in Zechariah's life. God was in the business of starting things. He changed the world through 12 men. Amen? He'll change the world through you. Who do you know? Which two people do you know living in darkness that could be touched through the Christmas outreach that we have? You could be an agent of change. You say, Lord, when we prayed in a youth class, Lord, show us. Who would you do a work through? Who would you have me do a work in? And I had each one of them write down two names. I challenge you to make that prayer. Two names that God would touch with a change this Christmas. Maybe you would have a life-changing message for them. Amen? All right, let's keep moving. The angel answered, I'm Gabriel. I'm the archangel Gabriel, by the way. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent. That's a penalty. That's a discipline. I'm trying to read it a different way. There ain't no way to read it other than a discipline. Can I get a witness on that? He says, and now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words. That's discipline. Can I get a witness on that? That is a discipline to him for his lack of faith. He says, I am Gabriel, and I am standing in the presence of God. And as I speak here, I speak for God. And as you doubt me, you doubt God. But let me help you out. God helps us understand, because how many of you have ever doubted God? Yeah. Oh, yeah. God'll help you understand. And sometimes it's not the most pleasant lesson. He could not speak for 9 months. When his son was born, he could speak. Now, it's one thing, I'll tell you what, Anissa is impacted by the healing of your body because of her prayer and the prayers of your family. It's close. Joe was talking about, oh yeah, we were praying for Alex and I forget the other girl's name, that they were okay, and we just finished praying and they walked right in. It was like, can you imagine the impact of this discipline in Zechariah's life in the upbringing of John the Baptist? How close that was. You know, I couldn't speak for 9 months. See, Elizabeth, yeah, it was the best 9 months of my life. You know, like preacher not being able to talk, you know. But it's like, this is so real. And then all the prophecies that were lined up before, you're going to be mega in the eyes of God. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, you will be radical in your life. To be raised with that. What kind of impact would that have in your children's life? When the power of God is real in your life. When you make room for God to work in your life, He becomes tangible and real. He'll do a miracle in you, or He'll do a miracle through you. Do you got room? Do you want to see God move in your life? John the Baptist lived his life in expectation to see the Spirit of God move in a mighty way. And I want to let you know the life-changing message that the Holy Spirit that empowered John the Baptist to have that impact in Israel is available to you today. In fact, Jesus said, John the Baptist is greater than any prophet that has come along. But he said, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Why is that? At least you can come up and play. Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God. Jesus said that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? He said, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. Jesus said that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit in my name to whoever asks. How big of a change do you want at Christmas? How much room can you make for God in your life? He said, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You can have a life of, you can be an Instagram for Jesus. Check me out, Lord. I am sold out. I'm on blast for Jesus. Amen? You see all the displays in heaven of the ministry that you have under the power of the Holy Spirit. My question for you, you going to be a miracle or are you going to do a miracle? Or you just want barbecue? There are three options. You come in here and you're so messed up, you're saying, man, I don't have any room for God in my life because I'm just cleaning up my drama. I make poor choice after poor choice after poor choice, and I got to clean up, and I got to clean up, and I'm so busy cleaning and making poor choices, they don't have any room for anything else. Well, you can make a choice today, and you can make a change today. You can say, Lord, I want to be added into your family. Lord, I want to become part of this program, and I want to have you be the guide and director of my life. Many of you have done that. Maybe you come in here this morning and you just got drama. You got no room and you got no space. And you say, Lord, I don't want to do it anymore. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for that guy. Lord, I pray for that guy who wants a job and wants a change but can't even get straight enough to show up and get a life-changing message. Lord, I thank you for each person that has come here this morning, Lord, that you meet us in this place and that you do great and wonderful and mighty things among us. And Lord, that you would start a new work. That there are folks whose lives are just filled with drama and pain and tension and clutter. And right now, you just speak to that person. You say, Lord, say, child, here I am. I am calling out from heaven. I will transform you. Can you make a little room for me? You let room for me. He says, I'm standing at the door. I'm waiting to come in. I'm knocking. You let me in and we'll make a change. And you'll be blown away by the transformation. Nobody looking around. Jesus is speaking right to your heart this morning, and he's saying, I'll change you. I'll transform you. We can clean up your life. Be a brand new life, brand new choices, brand new opportunities. And you want to take that this morning. Nobody looking around. We'll just do this quick. I've got one other thing to talk to you about. Saying, that's me. Lord, I'm tired of the drama. Clean me up. Fill me up. I want to be yours. I want to be an Instagram for Jesus. Nobody looking around. That's you. God speaking right to your heart. Why don't you slide your hand up and say, that's me. Here and there. There and there. There. Here. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else back there? Hallelujah. Put your hand down as I see it here. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's a long time. Zechariah and his wife, 45 years, an estimate, being faithful. Day in, day out. Making room for you, God. That's really you. Really you. Nobody's got their hand up. God is just speaking right to your heart. You're saying, I'm done with the drama. I'm ready to make a change. Just to God, one more time. That's you. Just slide it back up. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Lord, for each person here, Lord, just like Zechariah, Lord, they're not doubting you, Lord. They know that you can do this. There's going to be challenges that come towards them. Lord, I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit come upon these, Lord, as you would, as they would make some room and you would begin to clean house in their lives, Lord. I give you thanks and praise for that. One last thing real quick. You're sitting here this morning and you did what we just talked about a while ago, and you are seeing some space in your life. You're going, man, you know what? It has been a better year. I got more to go. but it's been a better year than I've had in a long time. I've got some room in my life. You're saying, Lord, I got some space. I know I got to grow. I know there's more stuff coming. But Lord, I got some space. Here I am. Use me. Use me in a mighty way. Lord, I am ready. I am ready to take on a little bit extra. Do a miracle through me. Nobody looking around, but that's you this morning. I see your hands here and here. Yeah, there, hallelujah. There, there, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just stand. Let's just stand. We're going to sing a song. And as you just continue that prayer, just say, Lord, here I am. I am your servant. Use me in a mighty way. Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be your priest. Use me in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song.